Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Life Coach Radio Network. I'm David Frank Gomes, and thanks for joining me on Frank Talk, a conversation about the art and science of a happy, meaningful life. I am a co-active Life Compass coach and spiritual mentor, and if you want to know more about me, you can visit my website at lifecompasscoaching.ca or visit me on Facebook at Life Compass Coaching. So since we're talking about mindfulness tonight, let's begin by just listening to the sound of this beautiful handmade bell. Ringing this bell signifies us to become present to this moment. So what is mindfulness and how can it benefit us in our daily lives? Not as some obscure concept, but as something very real that improves our lives and creates more happiness. So first of all, here's my working definition of mindfulness. We could say mindfulness is a way of paying attention to the present moment without adding anything or taking anything away. It's a way of paying attention without labeling. So when we judge a situation that arises, we are in essence adding something to it. And if we wish something did not happen, that did happen, we are in essence trying to take something away. Mindfulness asks us to do neither, but simply to be present to this moment and to use that presence as the fuel for the next moment. It's not to suggest that every moment is going to be beautiful. Some moments may contain pain, suffering, or endings. But mindfulness again asks us to allow them to be who and what they are. The way we pay attention is really the container in which we experience our lives. The container is essentially empty, which means we ourselves choose what everything means. So the container is really our own belief system. And if we learn to develop a gentle awareness practice, and I emphasize the word gentle, that allows us to begin to be friendlier with the present moment. And that leads to freedom, period. That's what freedom is. Freedom is not the absence of suffering. It's just a way of paying attention that involves less weighing and less measuring. This is good, this is bad, this is terrible, this is, well, I don't know what this is yet, but I hope it's good. It's like we're running around like crazy people in the world with one of those label guns, and we're just labeling everything. And mindfulness practice is sort of, we have to talk ourselves down and agree to put the labeling gun down. So, again, the practice asks us, can you accept the moments of anger and fear and worry as guests? Be willing to receive them with kindness in your life without feeling obligated to serve them a five-course meal. That's mindfulness in action. And on the flip side, can you be fully present with all the joy that presents itself without trying to hold on to it or keep it from never changing or put it in a cage? I really believe that every act of love is a work of peace, no matter how small. And mindfulness is an act of love towards yourself. And loving yourself, you can love the world as it is. So the first big misunderstanding that around present moment awareness practice is that people confuse it with just becoming some kind of yes robot who shows up in life and whatever happens is okay. Yes, I am a robot. That's not it at all. There's a very subtle point here that is crucial. It's an inner practice to be able to accept what shows up in your life as it shows up. Now, we have some kind of belief that because we label everything, it helps us. But most of the time, we have no idea what anything even means at the time. And what difference does it make? If it happened to you, how do you know it was supposed to happen to you? Because it did. But still, we like to spend our lives arguing with the present moment, as if somehow arguing with it in our head, if we argue long enough, it'll somehow change the outcome of what's already happened. So now that doesn't mean you can't use the present moment in a more constructive way to change something in your life. It means you use the present moment as a stepping stone to create the next moment. And as the saying goes, if you take good care of this moment, the future will take good care of you. So let's say something bad happens to you. Or let's just say something happens to you and you label it as bad. And you ruminate on it. Why did this happen to me? It's not fair. That guy was a jerk. Why did my stock go down? Why did the dog throw up on my brand new carpet? With these kind of reactions to the present moment, what happens? Two things. You've obliterated the present moment because you are somewhere else in an imaginary world where the dog did not throw up on the carpet. And this world is very painful. And as a coach and mentor, I meet some people who've wasted years living in this imaginary world. They argue with everything that shows up. And it's futile. It's the destroyer of happiness. And the second point is how you are creating the future when you are feeling angry and pissed off and wondering why things never work out the way they should. Well, you're poisoning the future. Because in fact, when the future arrives, it always arrives as the present moment. So if you're arguing with what happened in the present moment, you're arguing with the future. And you're creating a memory in your consciousness based on resistance, which means you'll remember it at some future time and play it out all over again. It's called an energetic thought pattern. And then it becomes a habitual way of showing up. And as you show up over and over and over in this way, you get heavier and heavier energetically. As you add layer after layer after layer to resistance to your life. So mindfulness practice is about becoming lighter. It's about not letting anything stick to you and become an idea. It's a fluid, graceful way of being, and it allows you to use all of your creative energy to create more beautiful present moments. I like to say mindfulness practice is about facts, not fiction. Just the facts, please. Leave the story. So, for me, I think of mindfulness like emotional alchemy, where we allow the possibility that our turmoil, our perceived failures, our fears, our bewilderment or uncertainty, might actually blossom into insight and wisdom. And anyways, what does it matter? Mindfulness is a practice of acceptance. So we can practice with everything that shows up. Amazing. In almost every situation we label as bad, there is always the possibility of a transformation. So the tree is inherent in the seed, but it won't grow into a tree unless we plant it in the earth. And we can't grow our mindfulness practice if we don't plant it in the earth of our daily lives, where we use what comes up as the practice. Mindfulness is one of those things you can't practice tomorrow. There's a wonderful story of two monks, one old and one young, walking through the forest. They come to a river where a young woman is standing, and she's desperate to get across the river to see her dying husband, and begs the monks to carry her across because she can't swim. The young monk just ignores her and walks across, But the old monk silently picks her up with great effort. He puts her on his back and carries her across the river and gently puts her down on the riverbank on the other side, where in great gratitude she hugs him. And then in silence the monks walk on until the night. And finally they make a camp, and as they are preparing to meditate, the young monk says to the old monk, very indignantly, "I can't believe you carried that woman across the river. It is against our injunctions to touch a woman. How could you do such a thing?" And the old monk looks penetratingly at the young monk and says gently, "Are you still carrying that woman on your back? I left her behind at the riverbank." No judgments. It's clean. It's clear. It's kind. Nothing sticks to the old monk. Mindfulness is doing what needs to be done in any given moment and letting it be what it is. It's freedom from your own mind. And that story beautifully illustrates what a mindful person looks like. So to embrace all experiences as part of your path by making them the focus of your mindfulness. So instead of seeing a situation in your life as bad or your enemy, mindfulness turns every enemy into a friend, because all these problems now become, like the old monk, your teacher. And they're asking you a very simple question. How will you react? With love and acceptance, or with fear and violence to yourself? Mindfulness is for you. And when you become mindful, you make the world more peaceful and less reactive. And awareness practice also asks us to look at what we tune out in our lives. You know, our minds are a lot like a radio tuner. We're often listening to the same station, and it's usually radio fear. And if we repeat a particular act of inattention or mindlessness over and over again, it becomes automatic, like any other learned habit. This isn't a big deal for mundane routines of life, but the consequences are far greater when the routines are emotionally loaded. How we may behave in relationships, intimate relationships. So we can say that mindfulness is the antidote to not repeating the mistakes of the past and beginning to put the spotlight of our awareness on something that can really support us. Now, studies have shown that practicing mindfulness, even for just 2 weeks, can bring a variety of physical, psychological, and social benefits, and actually affect key areas of the brain. Although, in truth, mindfulness is a lifelong practice. I recently read an interesting book called How God Changes the Brain, and they're talking about the latest neuroscience in relationship to meditation and mindfulness practice. Among other things. So what did they discover in the brain scans of Buddhist nuns and monks who spend, you know, a great deal of time on the meditation mat? These are people who have spent thousands of hours meditating. Well, they found decreased activity in the parietal lobe. And the parietal lobe is interesting. It's the part of the cortex that's involved in constructing our sense of self. So when this decreased activity happens there, one's sense of self begins to dissolve. So we could say the ego begins to dissolve, which means you become more identified with what you are contemplating. So if you're meditating or contemplating peace, you become peaceful. You become something bigger than just yourself. And some of the research shows that this is relevant even for people who are just beginning to meditate, that the brain can actually be changed in as little as 8 weeks. So this is pretty exciting stuff. Mindfulness is also very good for our bodies. One seminal study found that after 8 weeks of practicing mindfulness meditation, there were impressive boosts to people's immune systems, their ability to fight off illness. And we don't even need science to tell us this stuff. If we're regular practicers of these, we know anecdotally from our own evidence our body tells us that it feels good. We know mindfulness is good for our minds. Studies have shown that it increases positive emotions, it reduces negative emotions. And actually, here's some mind-blowing stuff. Research is showing that it may be as effective as antidepressants in fighting depression. Mindfulness is wonderful if you're a student. It helps you tune out distractions, and it improves your memory and attention skills. Mindfulness definitely enhances relationships. It makes couples more satisfied with their relationships. It helps people feel more optimistic and relaxed. And it's also a way of making people feel more accepted and close to one another. Mindfulness is a natural process of creating sort of a bonding relationship. It's wonderful for parents. Parents who practice mindfulness report being happier with their parenting skills and their relationships with their kids. And they don't miss as much as the mindless parents do, you know, who are talking on the cell phone while they're at the playground. I mean, this stuff goes on all the time. And people wake up one day and realize they've missed some really important moments. They were there physically, but not in their mind. There's mounting evidence that teaching mindfulness in the classroom reduces behavior problems and aggression among students and improves their happiness levels and ability to pay attention. Mindfulness helps fight obesity by practicing mindful eating. It encourages people to develop healthier eating habits. And people actually start to enjoy the food they do eat. Now, mindfulness practice is an interesting paradox in one way, because we are using the mind to overcome the mind itself and all of the ways it keeps us in prison. So it's a bit like hiring a thief, your ego, who is all dressed up as a policeman to catch the thief. The policeman will pretend to make huge efforts to catch the thief, give periodic reports of progress, but will fail each time because the policeman is the thief. So mindfulness is asking us to see that the thief and the policeman are the same person, which means we have to stop pretending. You can't pretend in mindfulness practice. It's a very bare-bones practice where you strip every subterfuge away and see what remains. So how can we put these practices, these ideas, into our lives in simple ways? And I'm going to share a few ways with you, and there are many ways and many, many books on the subject. So I'm going to share a couple of ways that I do it. The one-minute mindfulness breathing exercise. I'm a big believer in small steps, so you start small, and everyone can find a minute in a day to do some mindfulness breathing. So let's just go through it and practice now. It's one you can do anytime throughout the day. So let's just take a moment for the next 60 seconds. All you have to do is focus your attention on your breathing. So I'm going to ring the bell. And when I ring the bell, I want you to breathe in and just hold your breath in a relaxed way. And then when I ring the bell again, just breathe out as fully as you can. And if your mind wanders, just gently bring it back to the breath. Okay, let's begin. amazing how you can bring yourself back to yourself in 60 seconds. And keep in mind that this mindfulness exercise is not a contest, it's not a personal challenge. You can't fail at this exercise, you can only experience it. So you don't need to turn it into anything. And you don't need a bell. You can just sit down and for a minute breathe mindfully. And over time, you can gradually extend the duration of this exercise into longer and longer periods. And this exercise is actually the foundation of a mindfulness meditation practice. So you might do this first thing upon awakening. You know, you wake up and the first thing you do is breathe mindfully for a minute before anything else. Or you might do it the last thing before you go to bed at night. It's a wonderfully effective technique for the beginning of your day and the end of your day. You can also use a program or an app. You know, when I was a film editor and I'd spend, you know, long periods of time in front of a computer, 16 hours, I had an app called Timeout. And I would just set it for intervals. And then at a regular interval, the screen would just sort of become this soothing picture. And I would just spend a couple of minutes breathing and relaxing. So it automatically did it for me. I didn't have to think about it. And it was a chance to just bring myself back to the moment. So the breath is a powerful doorway to greater awareness. Another technique I use is called, I call it the doorway practice. So it involves setting up some kind of small ritual for yourself around an entrance in your home, or you can even do it in your office. So I'll just share my practice with you so you get an idea. So at our home, we have a bell that you just heard that we keep at our bookcase in the hall by our front door. And there I have a quote, which I might read. And there's a picture of my teacher. So I'll look at a picture of him. In your case, it could be a picture of a loved one or somebody you care deeply about. And finally, I just ring the bell. And it's just bringing the mind to the present moment and remembering that I am actually about to cross a threshold, meaning I'm leaving one world, my home, and entering into another one, which is a mystery. In fact, we take it for granted that we will return, but how do we know that will actually happen? I know that anything could happen, and I may never walk through that door again. I may never gaze upon the picture of my beloved teacher or see my loved ones again. I'm living in a mystery, as we all are. So this ritual reminds me of that and helps me to enjoy every moment. It also tells me when I'm not present. You know, there are times when I just rush out the door, I ring the bell, but I'm not really there. Or occasionally I might be angry and not ring the bell at all. So it also tells me when I'm not showing up. So you see how something as simple as a doorway can become a reminder to be present in your life? And you don't need a picture or even a bell. For me, it just adds to the ritual. But think about how many doors you walk through each day. And each door is a reminder that you can use to be present. But you can use almost anything, you know, a stoplight, a red light. You know, how many red lights have you ever stopped at? You can use that as a moment to just bring yourself to the present moment awareness. Another technique I use is called marking. So throughout the day, consciously identify what you're able to appreciate in this moment. So you want to consciously identify even the smallest thing that makes you feel good. It could be something about yourself, another person, your environment, what your body's doing, what your body is feeling, what you can appreciate right now, not later in time. So we can appreciate anything from positive, such as something positive, such as having food in our body, to something that is absent, like no illness in our body. The thing is, we're so unconscious even about the moments we love. We become like robots. So when you see a beautiful sunset, stop and mark it. I love that sunset. That makes me feel good. Or when you're sharing a meal with a loved one or a friend, I love this meal. It tastes so delicious. Or if you're like me and you live by the ocean, you can walk barefoot and say, you know, this water feels good. I love being able to walk here and touch the earth with my bare feet and watch my dog swim and jump around. I'm healthy. I can still do this. So start making what you appreciate actually come to life. It becomes a habit. Taking things and people for granted is a sign of unconscious or automated living. So we're actually often sleepwalking our way through the day, you know, murmuring maybe a barely audible thank you for all the gifts we actually do have and love. Notice them. That's mindfulness. So there are a few simple ways you can practice. And find and create your own rituals that work for you. You don't need anything complicated. The more you practice, the more joy starts oozing out of every atom of your life. That's how it works. So, to sum up, mindfulness is not thinking, interpreting, or evaluating. It is an awareness practice. It's a non-judgmental quality of mind which does not anticipate the future or reflect back on the past. And the wonderful thing is, any activity can be done with mindfulness. Talking on the phone, cleaning your home, driving, working, exercising, you name it. Throughout the day, inwardly pause and become very aware of where you are, what you are doing, and how you are feeling. And you want to try and do this in a way that doesn't cast value judgments on your experience. For example, if you notice you're nervous or something, you don't think, oh, I'm nervous, that's so dumb of me. You just observe, right? And you might even just say, nervous feeling, without evaluating whether it's good or bad. It's just the process of noticing. You know, because as a coach and a mentor, I notice so many people have no clue how to take information, ideas, or advice and then apply it effectively to their own lives. It's one of the most powerful reasons to have a personal coach in your life. And I often find this when talking about mindfulness with my clients. The noise of daily life interferes with the signal of what mindfulness could do for them. So it's not about identifying the ways it doesn't fit. It's about looking for the ways it does. As the saying goes, don't confuse the noise with the signal. So I'm going to end with this quote that I keep by my front door, which really sums up what mindfulness is. Live each present moment completely, and the future will take care of itself. Fully enjoy the wonder and beauty of each instant. Practice the presence of peace. The more you do that, the more you will feel that presence of that power in your life. I hope you've enjoyed this episode and you try out these techniques, and let me know how it goes. And feel free to visit my website, again, at lifecompasscoaching.com, or .ca, I'm sorry, lifecompasscoaching.ca, and feel free to get in touch if you would like to inquire about the possibility of working with me. Thanks for listening, and keep well on your journey.